Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song, the melody.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz. Fortunately, my co-host Steve is not with us tonight. I am hoping that everything is all right and there is no serious issue. I was expecting him at the studio, and lo and behold, I haven't seen him walk through the door yet. But as they say in show business, the show must go on. I will, in fact, reach out and check in with him to make sure that nothing serious has happened and that everything is okay. Because that would not be like Steve at all to miss a recording session, but I know that, he would want to have this show carry on, so we are definitely going to do that. So, starting off, we are in February now. We are deep into the winter time, and this year has been a little awkward as far as weather goes. We've had our spell of really, really cold and windy and having to bundle up a lot. And then we have a day that, just like yesterday, it was around 55 degrees outside. I first went out in the early morning to take my dog for a walk, and I was shocked. I was like, wow, I definitely have too many layers on here, but this seems like it's going to be a really good day. My wife came home from work, and she also took notice to how beautiful it was and asked if I wanted to go take a walk, which is something that we usually do in early spring and summer on a daily basis. We go for a walk, we catch up on our day, and we just chit-chat and communicate, and what a pleasant surprise to the weather yesterday that we were actually able to go ahead and do that. And then wake up this morning, it's cold again, it's raining, sending the kids off to the bus stop with umbrellas. It's just really, really out of the ordinary. And although we welcome these warm spells during winter time, unfortunately, it can bring a lot of illness with all these switching back and forth and temperatures. I know that it has hit our household pretty hard. It had me down for almost 2 weeks. It started off that I thought that I was just experiencing, just a little fatigue. And I was finding myself taking a nap here and there throughout the day. And then it started to escalate a little bit. And I started thinking to myself, you know what? I think I have the flu, because I was getting chills, and then I was experiencing bouts of just being really, really hot and not being able to control my temperature. So, I was just trying to stay in bed and wait this thing out, and these flu-like symptoms were going on for almost a week, and I was just like, there has to be something else to this. I was on social media and I'm seeing a lot of people saying, oh, I'm so sick, or my children are so sick. And, I hate to see that going on in anybody's family. But at the same time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's so many people reporting this. I hope that it misses our house. Well, it didn't miss our house. I don't know if it was just something that I picked up, or if it was something that was brought home from the schools or whatever. But like I said, it started off as just a little bit of fatigue, and then I started getting flu-like symptoms, so I thought I had the flu. But after going through this for well over a week, it was time to call the doc. So I called the doc on the phone, and I was pleasantly surprised that he could get me in almost first thing the next morning, which was great because I knew that this was no longer the flu. So I get up the next morning still feeling like mud, and I got ready and I go to the doctor and they take my temperature. No temperature whatsoever, which was really shocking to me because I said that I told the nurse that was taking my temperature, I feel like I'm on fire right now. But my temperature was actually like 97 degrees, so it was a little lower. So, you know, they check the vitals and what have you, and then the doc comes in, you know, the regular greeting. My doctor's great. I love going to see my doctor other than being sick because we have some great conversations. But so, you know, he does the whole, okay, open your mouth, say, ah, let me look in your ears, let me look in your nose. And I just keep hearing him say, oh, yep. So then he comes and he stands in front of me and I'm like, so I'm sick, doc. He goes, oh, yeah, you're sick. You have a sinus infection and you have strep throat. Double whammy. I was just like, oh, I knew it. I told him. I said, look, I thought that I had the flu. And it started off as just thinking I was tired. And then I thought I had the flu. And then it didn't go away. And this and that. He was like, well, yeah. He's like, you have a, you know, the sinus infection and the strep throat. So, yeah, of course, I asked him, I was like, well, is that going to make me feel extremely tired and this and that? And he was like, oh, yeah. He was just like, I'm surprised that you didn't come in here earlier because with this double whammy, I can't even imagine how you were getting about, which I wasn't doing too well. But being a stay-at-home dad during the day, making sure that 4 kids are up, ready for school, off to school, cooking meals, packing lunches, which some of you know me. When it comes to packing those lunches, I'm just like, oh, I can't wait till summertime. But so, yeah, I mean, my wife is off to work. So, you know, it's like those commercials where you see where the mom or the dad turns to the little child and is like, I need a day off. Well, you're not getting one because there is no day off for parents. So shout out to all the parents out there that unfortunately at this time of year are dealing with this illness that keeps going in and out of people's homes and just knocking people to the floor. So yes, I just had to carry on about my day. Luckily, the doctor gave me some great antibiotics, and within 48 hours, I started to feel so, so much better. Had to take these antibiotics for 10 days, and I finished up my last pills, I think maybe like 4 days ago, and I'm feeling great now. But I wasn't, so I was down for the count, and actually 2 weeks ago, I had to, I went and I saw the doctor on a Wednesday, and we're usually in the studio recording on a Thursday, so I sent a text message out to my co-host Steve on Thursday saying, hey, is it possible that we meet up at the studio on Friday? And he said he couldn't do Friday, so... And I had said, well, if we can't meet up on Friday, let's just head to the studio on Thursday. I'll push through it because I've been on antibiotics now for, you know, 48 hours, so I can do it. But unfortunately, he couldn't. So he said, you know, I can't do Friday. I guess we're just going to have to wait until next Thursday. So that's what we did, and that's where we're at now. And lo and behold, no Steve, so I'm hoping that maybe he didn't come down with something because this strep and sinusitis is, from what my doctor said, extremely contagious. I knew strep was. I wasn't so sure about sinus infections, but then when I looked it up, you know, if it's a viral sinus infection, it is highly contagious, which I gave to my wife. So I'm starting to feel better. Now she's saying, did you feel like this? Did you have this going on? How about this? And I'm just so reluctantly just saying, yeah, yep. Oh, definitely. So I told her, I said, get in and see the doc. He'll give you something and get you feeling better. So she's been on antibiotics. She's feeling better now, but I'm hoping that that is the last of it because I really can't take any more of it. So I hope everybody out there is feeling well. And if you were ill, I hope that you're recovering. And let's just try and push through this last hurdle of winter, because we're at the beginning of February, but I can see off into the distance. You know, of course, we still have March. And March, as we all know, can be just as bitterly cold as January and February. And in Pennsylvania, March is most of the time where a lot of the time is when we get a abundance of our snow. So I am not a big fan of snow. So I'm hoping that we can avoid that. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. I thought I saw a report on the when I was browsing through the internet last night that we may be getting like 5 inches of snow in the next week. Hoping that misses us completely, goes out to sea, whatever, because I'm more of a 85 degree, sunny, take me to the beach, let's get in the pool kind of guy. I know there's a lot of people out there that do like snow in the and winter. You know, you have a lot of your skiers and snowboarders, but I am not one of them, and I am just anxiously awaiting summertime to peer its head around the corner and just start getting warm. I'm not one of those people that you're ever going to hear say, oh my gosh, it's so hot outside, I can't wait until fall. Nope. Bring on the heat, because I'll just run out in the backyard and jump in the pool. Or how about a day at Hershey Park and let's go ride some rides, or pack up the kids, we're going to the beach. And that's basically what I'm looking forward to, is getting some nice quality time with the family on a nice vacation, going down to Ocean City, Maryland, or going to Myrtle Beach. We like to go down to Fort Myers in Florida and spend some time, and then cruise down from there down into the Florida Keys and Key West and have a good time. So it just makes me feel a little bit better right now just verbalizing and saying those destinations and picturing them in my head, because, oh man, I am so, so ready. I just can't wait. So if any of you are like me, I'm sure you're thinking the same and starting to get online and possibly look at what vacation destinations you could possibly be heading to here once the beginning of June rolls around and school lets out and it's just party time. So I'm going to be alone at the helm tonight, just taking the reins here for a podcast. So I hope you all stick with me. I don't have anything that I can bounce off of anybody, or like my co-host Steve, I can't get perspective on, but we're going to try and push through and see what we can do. And I really appreciate you still tuning in and hanging with us here at Subtle Beast. I'd really like to say I really appreciate all the love that we've been getting, and just a great response. I've been receiving text messages and messages on Facebook of people just telling us how much they really enjoy the podcast and how much they like tuning in to, you know, just hear our voices. I have some friends from out of state that say they look forward to listening to the podcast because it's just a little touch of home. And then I just have others that have, you know, shown love in other ways, saying, hey, you know, we just recently listened to your Christmas special. We liked it. It made me feel like a kid again. So it's things like that that really put a big smile on our faces, because we put a lot of hard work into our podcast here at Subtle Beast. And being able to get positive feedback like that is just a great thing. So, like I said, I hope you all are enjoying it and you're tuning in regularly. This is going to be our first cast that's been coming out probably in the last 2 weeks. You know, me getting knocked down with the sickness and just other things, you know, life getting in the way. But, you know, we're going to carry on, and we got to get our shows out to everyone. So let's just get right into it. So, being out on social media lately, I know you all have seen the whirlwind that is Facebook now. Facebook in the past used to be something you could jump onto after a hard day and be like, ah, I'm just going to relax. Let's see what my friends are up to, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, have a smile on your face and maybe a little laugh here and there. But I have to tell you, being on social media lately has just really been an overwhelming bad experience to like all senses. You know, we really haven't touched base here on Subtle Beast about the election that took place in November, and with Donald Trump being elected to the president of the United States, and the country has just been going crazy in so many different ways. I mean, yes, Donald Trump is our president. I don't know which way people have decided to vote, or if they're for Trump, if they're against Trump, if they wanted Hillary as our president. Hey, that's America. That's your prerogative. Obviously, there was no wrong answer. And it turns out that America spoke, and Donald Trump is our president. But it just seems like out of any other election that I can remember in the past, that this one is just, it just doesn't seem to be going away, and America just carrying on. There's just so much anger in the people who, I guess, voted for Clinton and definitely don't want Donald Trump into the White House, which, you know, I can understand. You know, you've been pulling for this candidate for as long as they've been campaigning. You know, you have your high hopes. You want to see this person get into the White House, and election night comes and it just doesn't happen. And, you know, I totally understand the, oh my gosh, oh man, I really wanted to see them be president. I really think they could have done this good and that good and what have you. I mean, I'm sure we've all been there in any type of contest or you know, or sport or anything where you're pulling to win. You've worked so hard and you've put so much passion and blood, sweat, and tears into this whole operation. And then at the end, you come up short and either you don't win, your team doesn't win, or in this case, your candidate doesn't win. I know that it can be really hurtful, and it can really get you down. I'm hoping that we can all figure it out together and start to pull together as a country and start to unite. And whether you're for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump, the fact of the matter is, he's our president of the United States. And I know there's a lot of the protesting going along that people are trying to get him to step down and for him not to be our president anymore. Ben, and if that's how you're feeling, I just like to say, I don't see that happening. I don't see Donald Trump stepping down after winning the Electoral College and winning the presidency, that he's going to step down. You know, having said that, I'm just hoping that we all can pull together, because I can totally understand people protesting and, you know, showing the fact that they didn't like that he won, and, you know, people saying, well, Hillary won the popular vote, and obviously he got into the presidency by the Electoral College, which has been our way of electing a president for as far back as a president of the United States goes. And I have no problem with people protesting or, you know, saying how they feel on Facebook, you know, right after the election and this and that. But it just seems to be a whirlwind where I really don't see an end in sight. Now, I can remember 8 years ago, when President Obama came in, there was a lot of people that had not voted for Obama, and they were unhappy about it. And, you know, for maybe a couple weeks, you'd see, you know, a slam here, or it should have been this way or that way. And it seemed to go by the wayside a little bit. People, you know, of course, you're always going to have, you know, a certain meme come up about a candidate or a president that you don't like, or that somebody posts, and, you know, you're going to have that because, you know, there are a lot of politics out there on social media. But like I said, with the election of Obama, it seemed to, you know, go by the wayside pretty quickly and become accepted that he's going to be the president, and nobody was calling for him to step down. Not that I can recollect anyway. But with this election, it seems to be, this has to be the most historical presidential run from what I can hear on the news, and nobody can ever remember two sides being this divided. And even, what, 2 months, 3 months after the election, that people are just still up in arms and just can't believe it. But like I said, hey, the First Amendment is there to protect you. If you want to protest and you want your voice to be heard, I'm all for it. You go out, make your voice be known, voice your opinion. But what I'm not okay with is the things that are going on where people are getting hurt. Just recently at Berkeley, where they had brought somebody in to make a speech, Milo, to come in and make a speech, and there was just a lot of people that just weren't going to allow it, and it seemed funny is not the right word, but for a lack of a better term, I'm going to use it. It seemed funny to me that people were out there and protesting for, under their First Amendment rights, about what they thought was right, but in the same turn were taking away somebody else's First Amendment rights, somebody that was invited to the college, first and foremost, and secondly, who had something to say, and under his First Amendment rights, he should have been able to do so. Now, if you wanted to protest, that's fine. But people were being punched in the face. People were being maced. Cars set on fire. Trees set on fire. And, I mean, and ultimately, I guess the group that was out there protesting was able to reach their goal and get this event shut down, because they had to get him out of there, and he was no longer been able to be heard. I really wish that things could be different. A peaceful protest is one thing, but when people start getting hurt, injured, or, you know, possibly even killed, I mean, we have to draw the line somewhere. What can we do to unite this country? Because like I said earlier, I don't think Donald Trump's going anywhere. I don't believe he's going to step down. So for at least the next 4 years, he is going to be our commander in chief. So we need to find a way that we can start to heal this country and start to move forward. I saw on the news that Bruce Springsteen was in Australia, and he was changing the lyrics to his song. Instead of Born in the USA, he was singing Ashamed in the USA. And when I saw that, I became really angered, for one, I mean, you should never be ashamed of the United States of America, especially if you're living in the United States. I mean, we just have the greatest country in the world, I feel. But it kind of struck me in a weird way. I still probably would have been angered had he done that here in our country, in one of the venues across the 50 states. But doing it in Australia and putting it out to, you know, all the other people of the world, it had me thinking along the lines of you know, like a sibling rivalry. You know, you're growing up with your brothers and sisters and you're going to call them a jerk or a dope or an idiot. But if somebody else does it, well, then the gloves are coming off because that's my brother or sister and I can say whatever I want, but you can't. It was kind of like that to me. The fact that he was in Australia and he was just bashing our country. I mean, we as the Americans have to be the ones to figure it out. I mean, don't start taking our problems elsewhere and trying to get people on board and being like, oh, you know, trying to push your opinion of our great country onto them. It just didn't sit well with me. And honestly, I really don't think that there's any good coming out of this. I mean, if you look at what's been happening with people being maced in the face and punched and hit and traffic being stopped, people are just joining arms and just stopping traffic. And it seems now that a lot of people are at first. People were more or less putting up with it and allowing this to take place. But now I'm starting to see on different video clips on social media and the internet that people are almost at their wit's end. I saw a group of people that were joined arms and linked across the street and across highways. And people now are just driving through, which I don't agree with. I mean, I don't want to see anybody hurt in any fashion. So I don't think that that's the right recourse or the right way to go. But at the same time, we have to find a way to figure this out without violence and without anybody getting hurt or without anybody's property being damaged. Because, well, I mean, we're not doing any good by doing that. I mean, if you're proud of the town or the city that you're living in, but what you're angry at is the outcome of our presidential election, why are you going to destroy property in your hometown with people that you live with? I mean, who knows? I mean, when you're destroying a car or you're throwing a brick through somebody's window, you might not be aware of who owns that building. That might be a friend of yours that maybe you hadn't talked to in a couple of years, so you're not aware of what they're doing, and they may even feel the same way you do, and you just trashed their belongings or set fire to, or maybe you maced their brother or sister, all because you didn't know who, what, where, why, or when, and you're doing this destruction, and all along, this person could either A, be in this protest with you, or B is not, but feels the same way you do. But what has happened now? So now we have to spend money to rebuild these properties, or people have to file to have their cars rebuilt, and if they even can be, or get a new car. It just seems that We really need to figure out another way, because I feel that if it continues to escalate and the protesting starts to get even worse, which I really can't imagine that it can at this point, that even if you're against Donald Trump, that he may have to shut these events down, which, you know, as far as the First Amendment goes in protesting, I mean, nobody wants to be able to see that right being taken away. But at the same point, we can't have people hurt. I mean, he could if they know that there's going to be a certain protest, I mean, he could very well send in the National Guard. I mean, he could lock things down and he could just prevent these things from happening, which I don't want to see happen. But even more, I don't want to see people hurt and personal property destroyed and things that people have worked so hard and so long to create. Now, having said that, I believe that what people need to do is to look at the fact of of what it is inside that's hurting. You know, you've heard that there is five steps to grief. And if we can identify them and start to figure out what's going on within ourselves, I think that, you know, we can begin to heal, because we really do need to move forward. Now, people like to say that there are, and I'm sure most of you have heard that there are five steps to grief. I actually believe that there is six. I know as many of you out there, 5 years ago, I experienced a horrible tragedy in the loss of my father. And after a good long time had passed, I came across the five steps of grief and was looking through them and identified with each of them and could see how I went through this, and I was able to come out on the other end and be able to carry on with a new normal. And I believe that's what we need to do, is come up with our new normal. Regardless of how you feel about the president of the United States, for the next 4 years, he's not going anywhere, and he may continue to do things that you don't like or that you're frowning upon, but we need to become the United States of America again and find an equal playing field and start to heal and start to be the great country that we always have been. If you look at these five steps of grief, and like I said, I believe that there's six. Now, the five original ones are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But I think that they left one out. I would start with, and calling it the six steps of grief, I would say that number one would be shock. Because when something tragic happens in your life, or something that you were really pulling for, such as the election, if you were on Clinton's side, and all we were hearing was she's definitely going to win, there's no way Trump can find a way to 270, and he's never going to step foot in the White House. I mean, that's all we heard. So that's what we started to believe. And then on election night, when it went the other way, people that were pulling for Clinton and saw that Trump won the presidency and is going to be the president of the United States, I would have to say that the first initial reaction was just shock. How did this happen? And with shock, I mean, it's any shock is just a reaction to loss, whether it be death or divorce or any other form of anything serious going on in your life. The reaction comes from disbelief. You start feeling numb. It's a defense mechanism to protect you from being too overwhelmed. Because if it's something that has a huge impact in your life, such as a family member, divorce, or as important as people saw this election process to be, if your candidate didn't win and all you've been told is they're going to, there's just going to be a humongous shock factor there. And it can last a few days or a few weeks, or in this case, it seems to be going on for months. Or has it shifted from that step and gone into another one, which would be denial? This in denial seems to fit in with what's happening with all these protesting, because denial would be the defense that the loss actually happened. You're not willing to accept the fact that Donald Trump is the president of the United States. There's no way in your mind that's how it's going to be, and so I don't have to accept that. Or has it moved on to anger? And, you know, looking back now, saying that denial might have been, it might be a little mixture of two, denial and anger. Because when you're dealing with grief, the anger is always usually directed outward. You don't ever want to look inside and say, okay, well, what could have I done differently or anything like that? And I'll give you an example. When I lost my father and I was going through these steps, obviously the first one was shock. It was a beautiful day outside. I was having a great day. It was so beautiful. And my cell phone rang and it was in a different room. And I went and I picked it up and I saw it was my mom calling. So I was like, oh, great. I pick up the phone. Hey, Mom. And she's just screaming. And it's a phone call you'll never forget. And I just hear her say, Dad is dead. I just remember hanging up the phone. And shock set in immediately. I mean, I immediately grabbed my car keys and was heading for the door. But all I know was this news was just delivered. And I'm trying to get a grasp on it, but I don't yet, because those words don't I can't comprehend them. It's probably the same way that when whatever news station you were listening to, you heard them say Donald Trump is the next president, you're thinking to yourself, no way, how could this possibly be? And then you're going through the denial. Well, no, that's wrong. Just wait till they look into it a little bit further, because everything that we were told about this election can't be wrong. So no way. So we're going to deny that. And tomorrow when we wake up, we'll find out that, you know, Clinton really won. Well, now it seems that we're getting through halfway through that denial and the anger is setting in. And because we know that it's real and doesn't really seem like anything's going to be different, so we're angry and we're projecting outwards, and we're not just protesting, we're hurting people and we're destroying property, and it's just the wrong thing to do. And then if you're going through the list after anger, it comes to bargaining, which now you're going to start, if you're a religious person, maybe you're going to start praying about it, and you're going to try and bargain with God or your higher power. I promise if you change this event, action, or whatever in my life, that I will do this in exchange for that. If you can make anybody else president other than Donald Trump, then I promise to start going to church every weekend, or I promise to start being a better person. And we all know you can't do that. You can't bargain with God or your higher power or whoever you're trying to bargain with. It's got to come from within. You've got to come up with your own resolve and figure out, how can I start the change? How can I start to be a voice to the people that are going about protesting in the wrong way and hurting people? How can I start to reflect good? Even though I may not like what the outcome is, how can I start to harness all the goodness and love and start just remembering that the United States of America isn't just one guy in the White House, it's all of us? Because, I mean, how many times do you get into a discussion with somebody and somebody starts yelling and somebody starts screaming and they're acting ridiculous? I mean, does anybody ever say, okay, yep, you're right, since you're screaming as loud as you are, I'm sorry? No, we're going to go on the defense. I mean, I've been in it 100 times. Anybody that's married out there knows this situation. If your spouse is yelling at you, you're not listening to what they're saying. You're going on the defense. So instead of burning buildings and hurting people and doing everything that everyone knows isn't the right course of action, let's all just settle down a little bit. Let's all take a deep breath. Because if we're talking kind to one another, then we're going to start to hear one another. And if you're talking kind and maybe you're seeing my side just a little bit and you're going to start to give just a little bit, well, then maybe the person you're talking to will start to see your side too. And then maybe we can come to some type of compromise and work through it without violence. Because gosh knows, I've seen that people are calling, we want a civil war and this, that, and the other thing. No, we don't. That's not what we want. We want to be the United States of America. So the bargaining, if you're going to be bargaining, bargain within yourself and figure out, how am I going to pull myself through this? What can I do on the inside to project goodness on the outside? One of the other steps then is depression. I mean, even as you're bargaining with yourself, trying to figure out, okay, what can I do to be good? You're gonna maybe go into a depression. You're now realizing that the loss is real, and you're gonna start to turn away from people and even loved ones, and you're gonna want to try and just keep yourself in a room somewhere. And okay, I wasn't able to figure out how to make this change for the good. So now I'm just going to become a recluse, and I'm not going to talk to anybody, and I'm just going to shut down. Well, that could be dangerous. You don't want to sink too deep into a depression, because I mean, if we're talking about the presidency and not any other serious loss, I mean, you have to, again, the outcome is not going to change. You just have to change your way of looking at it and figuring out, what can we do? But that is one of the steps. And then finally, after depression, is acceptance. Learn to deal with the reality and work towards and take action. Okay, you know what? If somebody was pulling for Clinton to be the president, okay, you've worked through this now. You've gone through these steps. You're an intellectual person. So now it's just time to make that declaration. Okay, Donald Trump is president of the United States. I may not like it. I might not have voted for him. But what can I do? How can I get on board and help to make this country better? Well, I don't really have a solid answer for somebody, because that's going to be something that you would have to figure out on your own. But I know that I've been on the opposite end of coins and not liked the outcomes of some things. But one thing that I usually would do is, if it was an argument between me and somebody else, and I finally accepted the fact that, you know what, that's the way that it's going to be, and they're right, I have to get over being too proud to admit that I was wrong. But in this case, I mean, there is no right or wrong. It was just a vote. But, well, seek out the person from the opposite side during this acceptance. If you are a Clinton supporter, I mean, we all know people from the opposite ends of the debate. Try and have call them up, send them a text, or set a meeting to go out and have a cup of coffee. I mean, that would just be the beginning of the good, would be to get a hold of somebody on the opposite end and sit down and, you know, verbally say, put it out to the universe that, okay, I might not have liked the outcome of this election, but I've accepted it now. I've accepted that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and how can I help? Let's open up this discussion to how are you feeling about it? what are your likes and dislikes about this whole thing? And then I'll share my likes and dislikes with you. And who knows, if you're sitting in a crowded area, or maybe there's just a few people around, and they hear this exchange going on, they might start to go through the five steps of grief just really quickly in their mind because of everything that's being put out into the world on social media and on the internet. It's just like, well, these two are just two people standing back to back that are never going to see eye to eye. But if you can open up those gates of conversation and a little give and take, who knows what could happen? Who knows how that could affect the person sitting next to you? Or that person going home, and let's say they didn't agree with you, and they go home and say, you'll never believe what happened at the local coffee shop. This person that I know that was pulling for Hillary Clinton was sitting there with somebody that voted for Donald Trump saying, okay, I accept it now. Let's share our likes and dislikes and try and come to some type of compromise on how we can move this country forward. And who knows, the person they may be telling this to might be like, you know, they're right. Maybe that is something that we need to do. So all I know is that we definitely need to get this country moving in the right direction again, because we're all Americans. We all love this country. I mean, we can't deny that. That's why there was people pulling for Donald Trump, and that's why there was people pulling for Hillary Clinton, because each of them saw in their candidate the way to make this country better again. There was no right. There was no wrong. It was just what you believed. And unfortunately, in any type of contest or election or sporting event, there's going to be a winner and a loser. But we just have to pick ourselves up and put our big boy and big girl pants on and figure out how not to be part of the problem, but part of the solution. And if we can do that, there's nothing that can stop us as Americans, because we all know we're the greatest country in the world. So if we can just put our differences aside from who's occupying the White House to what can I do to make this country great, continue to be great, because our country isn't about one person. Our country is about we the people. We are going to dictate what goes forward in this country. We are going to tell these elected officials the way that it's going to be, because we are the people. But before that can happen, before we force the hand of the people that are in power to make that decision for us, because some of us are acting crazy and not just holding a simple protest, but people are getting hurt, injured, killed, places burned to the ground, then they're not going to listen. It's not going to be even open for discussion. It's just going to get shut down. So before that happens, let's swallow our pride. Let's accept the fact that for the next 4 years, this is the way it's going to be. Let's open up that line of communication. Let's have a discussion, and let's try and move it forward in the best way that we know how to. Because like I said, we're Americans, and we know how to fight the good fight, but we're not fighting each other. We had a civil war. We don't need another one. We know what this country's worth is, and it's bigger than one person occupying the White House. It's about us, and it's about us loving one another and doing the right thing and not harming one another. Everyone just wants to be heard. But we don't have to scream and shout and throw a tantrum in order to be heard. We can just have a conversation. You speak, and I won't speak until you're done. Because if it's just going to be a shouting match, all I'm really thinking to myself is what I'm going to say to you when you're done with this rant. That's what shouting matches ever are. Someone's yelling. All you're thinking is of, okay, I heard this part and that part. Okay, now how can I turn this on them? No, we don't want to turn it on one another. We want to unite. So I'm going to ask you, after you get done listening to this, I'm going to put a place out on our Facebook page where I want to have a conversation about what people think can be the first steps in the healing process for the people that are hurting and the people that don't think that our country is going in the right direction. I want to say, let's please keep it kind on the Facebook page. Let's just go through everything I was talking about. Let's keep it kind. Let's listen to one another. Let's not snap at each other. Let's not call names, because that's not productive. But let's just listen to one another. So if you could please do that after you finish listening to this, or when you have some free time, you'll see the spot that I've delegated to open up this discussion about how we can move forward in this country. I'd really, really appreciate it. And if you know anybody that you think really needs to hear this, share our podcast. Share our podcast with your friends. Really help us get this word out. I made a declaration at the beginning of the year that I was going to do everything I can to take this podcast to the next level. And I could sure use your guys' help. I know I really appreciate it. I know Steve would really appreciate it. I know we're all looking forward to him coming back and getting in on our next conversation. But yeah, so let's just go out there, see what we can do. Let's share some thoughts and opinions on Facebook, and let's spread the word on Subtle Beast, and let's all look out for each other. And until next time, I'm Foltz, and I look forward to the next episode of Subtle Beast. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.